Hello, everyone, and welcome again to game night coverage of A&M Consolidated Tiger Football. It was game day coverage a week ago, a rare Saturday afternoon game against Katy Peyto. 48-0, the final in Lee. However you slice it, a shutout is a shutout no matter what team. I thought that was quite an accomplishment.
Well, I was real proud of our defense. You know, a lot of people ask me how you think the defense played. Of course, there were mistakes made, but when you shut a team out, you're proud of what your defense did, you know, and that type deal. And, you know, to put up 48 points, could we have scored more? I feel like we could have if we executed things we did, but we came away with the win, and that's all that matters.
We had mentioned in the early part of the broadcast defensively we had not been calling Gunnar Coker's name out as much as we thought we would, but I did feel like that we found ourselves calling him out a lot. If you had to look at somebody that was leading the defense that afternoon, I thought he had a pretty darn good game.
Yeah, I think he did a great job, you know, and we were playing him in some different roles from the inside linebacker, outside linebacker, and Coach Brugman said he did a great job watching him, you know, make his calls out, because a lot of times he was having to lead our defense calling the plays when he went to that Mike linebacker, and he did a good job, but he made a lot of plays for us.
You know, when you have a running back by the name of Major Payne, it's one of the great all times. It's almost like a Rock Cartwright from Conroe back in the day. Let's talk a little bit about why in the world anybody runs toward Josh Ellison. I mean, it didn't take him long, but when you run in any direction, I don't care if it's left or right, Josh's execution and recovery seems as if he is that player we used to see on other teams that were D1 recruits. He's playing like one right now. Is he not upping his game week to week?
Well, that young man, you know, is a leading rusher in the district right now. But I think Josh is doing unbelievable. You know, he's lost some weight, but it's all muscle that's on him right now. And what impresses me about Josh right now, it's not about what he does just in the interior. He'll run sideline to sideline, chase guys down. And, you know, that's one thing that was great. Coach Price from A&M was there because he was able to watch his son play because they had an open week. And, you know, Terry was talking to me and said, man, he's unbelievable looking his speed. And he's definitely doing what he's got to do. And, you know, the thing about Josh, and y'all probably see it from the press box, we'll play him at the defense tackle. We'll move him to defense end. And he just shows that how he can fly around. And every coach I talk to that they're getting ready to prepare for us are like, how do we block that young man? And I said, I don't know. You know, I'm glad that we got him on our team, and he's doing a great job.
Let's talk a little bit about the special teams that had been a concern, and still there's some areas that we can improve there, but all of a sudden, boom, you send back two speedsters to return on punts. It's not that Peyto had a great punting day, but I thought that you guys did a great job in finally getting some return yards, and we just haven't seen much of that this season.
Yeah, I was very pleased with our guys. We put in extra blocking assignments the way we're going to return on our punts, and you know, both guys did great jobs. Of course, we had a block in the back on one of them and that type deal, but I thought they did a great job, not only on the punt return, but I thought our kickoff coverage was outstanding. You know, of course, we used the wind to our advantage because that wind was blowing. We were kicking the ball deep a lot of times, and I thought McBurdy placed the ball in the right spots, and we were getting down. Look at the first kickoff where they try to get the ball on the 1 yard line. We hit them at the 5, you know, and then we get a 3-and-out, go down and score on them quick, but I thought our special teams did a lot better.
And when we talk about the punting, I noticed you didn't send someone back at one point. You just didn't allow. Was that you were playing the wind a little bit, or that was that a mistake?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Watching film, their punter, you know, every now and then he hit it good. A lot of times he shanked it. And, of course, kicking into the wind, we said we're not putting anybody back because we didn't want to take a chance ball hitting us when we're going trying to block and all that. And it worked out our advantage. I think he kicked it 5 yards on that one. And, you know, it was a game plan. It wasn't not as a coach putting somebody back for a reason. We were just not putting them back there because if they're only punting at 20 yards and 15 yards, it wasn't any reason to have somebody back.
Field position really matters in every game, but I felt like you were able to put Peyto away in the first half because of field position. 6 of 7 times you take over the ball in their end of the field. That has to draw on the confidence not only of what your defense was able to do, but to give the offense a little bit of breathing room to say, hey, we've got a shot to cash it in here.
Well, like we tell our guys always, winning field position is a big important deal. You want your defense down there on their side where they can't do anything, and then we got to get good punt returns like we've already talked about we did. And to start out the way we did with having great field position, you couldn't ask for anything better. You know, a lot of guys go, well, I wish we could get more yardage because if we had more field, but we're just wanting a field position to win it and do what we need to do.
Julius Howard and Brian Darby are a very dangerous combo. You're developing a lot of depth at tailback that I don't think we anticipated at the beginning of the year. You got a lot of speed, but didn't know about the skill. I'll tell you, I don't know how you contain either one of those guys because they're so different in their approach to running.
Yeah, you know, when you look at Darby, he's more kind of physicality, you know, runs through guys and that. One thing that Julius has done an outstanding, he finds that crease and he hits it downhill, and then you see his speed, he can break it loose at any time, and he's done that. And so I think it's been a big help to us, the fact that if a team's going to take the passing game away, we can run the football. If they take the running game away, we can throw the football. So it makes us be a balanced team, and I've been very impressed with both those guys.
We have talked about the receiving core that you have this year as being one of the best you've seen in your coaching career. I tell you, a guy that we're pulling for, to at least, it's not about how many touchdowns you make, but it sure would be nice. We thought Valen Jones was going to pull out that one down there at the one-yard line. He's still seeking that first touchdown, but still, I think that he is the stealth weapon of your receiving core. Everybody looks at Price. They look at Darby. But when it comes to Valen Jones, I think that he is your X factor.
Well, I think Valen's doing a great job because he's a guy that runs great routes. He can get open and do those things. And what's great about when you have a guy like Devin Price out there and guys are double-teaming him and knocking on him and things like that, it opens up the other receivers. And the thing that I'm proud about Devin, it doesn't get in his head. He lets them do it, but he said, great, other guys ought to step in and get it done. And Valen's been that guy that's been getting a lot of catches and making plays, and I've been very pleased with the way he's getting his job done.
In closing for the first segment here, we mentioned some specific names offensively and defensively, but who might we have missed as you are going through game film that you said offensively first had a really good game? Could be a lineman, could be someone else in execution. Who is that person?
Well, I think the one guy up front who's been doing a good job is Reed Francis. He's been grading out really well and doing some great things, and he's kind of been that leader on the front, helping guys communicate and blocking assignments and doing that. But, you know, if I had to say one guy that's kind of standing out to me right now that has impressed me is Julius Howard. I think he's done a great job. And then, you know, I'll throw Brian Darby in there too, because how many guys are going to go in the game that plays tailback some and goes out and plays receiver, plays linebacker? It just shows the type of player he is. He can play any position.
And how did the shift in center go this year as you move him down to the right guard and then move someone else in to take that slot?
Well, and the reason we had to do that, you know, our guard was out with an injury, and I think it worked out fine. They did a good job, and it just helps be able to move guys around and do the things that you got to do, and hopefully we'll get everybody back healthy and get back in our regular routine. But all it's doing is giving guys a lot of playing time and getting the whole front ready to do different things.
Ellison and Coker, we brought up. Who else on defense might we have missed that had a really good game?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it, I think the Sheffield, you know, brothers, they did a tremendous job. They're playing well, you know, and when you call out the Sheffields, you got Vince Sheffield, you got Vincent Sheffield, and both of them are doing a great job in that regard and flying around. And then I think the other thing is, even though he's an offensive lineman, when we put him in, Connor Hickson's done a great job at the defensive tackle role also. So right now, when I had to name out one defense player, I'd say the entire team. Anytime you shut out a team, you got to name all the defense players.
I used to say that everyone took for granted what running through that tunnel at Kyle Field was like back in the day when Consolidated would play Bryan there. You don't want to take anything for granted because it won't last forever. But I'm going to tell you, about as close as it gets to that type facility is what we saw with Legacy Stadium at Katy. What did you think when you – is that your first time you coached there?
Yes.
And so what was your thought when you walk into that facility?
We were very impressed with it. It's an unbelievable stadium. And I honestly, what I told the kids, it's like playing at a college, you know, because when you go in our dressing room, you can't ask for a nicer dressing room and all that. And our guys were focused in it. The one thing I will say, the way that stadium set up, that wind would suck down in there and blow different ways. And that's why we deferred the first, you know, on the kickoff. And we wanted the wind to our advantage to take advantage of it to win that field position like we talked about. And it worked out in our favor.
And every field is a little bit different. You prepare for that for the playoffs as well. You don't know where you're going to be. We are going to shift our attention now to something, again, kind of a strange thing for this season. You have two first-year varsity programs on the schedule. Lake Creek Lions having the type season that may raise a few eyebrows in that they are in the win column. And right now, they're sharing third place in district with a record of 2-2. And for a first-year team with mainly juniors, but sophomores and freshmen, they're doing the best they can with what they've got. And I would say for year number one, they'll grade out in that department at about an A. It's not a bad start.
Yeah, I think their coach is doing a good job because, you know, it's a new school and they're doing it. And being 2-2, like I told our guys, we can't take anybody lightly. We're sitting there 3-1. If we ended up losing this game, they'd be ahead of us due to the fact that they're head-to-head beating us, and we'd both be sitting there 3-2. And so we're not taking anybody lightly. We're going in and playing our game. It's great to get another home game. And when you look at it, you know, we've had some travel and this and that, but our next three games, yes, we have one road game, but it's only going to Rudder, which is about 8 miles away. So it's almost like we got all our home games back, and we're excited about that. But we're taking one game at a time, because I think if we can win this game right here, then we're pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot.
And as we you don't ever look ahead to Rudder, but I have to mention it because they did defeat Lake Creek, final of 61-14. But you look at the stat sheet in the district, they have the number one passer and the number one receiver And that's really what they're making their living on right there. Their defense has been okay, and they have a defensive-minded coach that came from the Woodland. So we know that's probably where he's going to head. But I'll tell you, that kind of raised an eyebrow on where they are with the stat sheet offensively right now.
Well, what it is, you know, last week we were prepared for the top runner, and so we were working on the run game. This week we're looking at the top, you know, passing team and that type deal. So good thing is this week practices were pretty much watching what we do on offense. So it was like calling a lot of the same signals that we do. So it gave our defense, they've been practicing this way since two a day, so they know what type of deal they're going to get in offense. And I think the big thing, if we can put a lot of pressure on their quarterback, that can get them out of that comfort zone, you know, throwing the ball. When he's got time to sit back there, he's got a good arm and he can complete a lot of passes.
Tell you something I've enjoyed in this district. It happened against Huntsville with Southern, and it happened last week, I think, Montgomery also. You got another sophomore quarterback that is leading the district in passing, and Ty Sexton. Talk about what is making him or setting him apart right now. Can a sophomore really be that type of leader, mature beyond his years, in pulling through this brand new team?
Well, I think it doesn't matter what grade you're in. You know, he's a good quarterback. Now, the one thing I'll say, like I just said, if you can get pressure on him, it takes a little bit away from him. And I think that's one thing we'll be able to do with our defensive front, the way we've been playing, is try to get a lot of pressure on him. And with our secondary, with the guys, the way they've been playing, when I told them, you know, they throw the ball a lot on Saturday in our film after our game, they were excited, fired up, because they like that, because now they got an opportunity to possibly get some interceptions. So we'll see how it goes. And prepare, but you know, he is a good football player. He's got a good mind on his head, and he doesn't let it, just because he's a sophomore, make any difference in the way he plays.
Well, you may not be able to say it, but I will. I think based on the opponents they've had before, this is absolutely going to be the best secondary that Lake Creek has faced, in my opinion. Your secondary as a unit, I think, has really improved on a weekly basis.
Yeah, our secondary is doing a great job. And, you know, the great thing about them, they're all young. They're coming back again next year, but they're communicating. They're doing a good job. The one thing that we work on weekly is making sure what they get the calls from our secondary coaches, making sure they communicate, because, you know, if a team's line up in this formation, we may have this call, but then they shift to something, we've got to adjust. And that's where you've got to communicate in the secondary, where all of a sudden we're not in a bust coverage.
Lee, in wrapping up, let's talk a little bit about what Lake Creek does on the defensive side of the coin. I mean, we mentioned their offensive attack, kind of know what their MO is going to be. What kind of formation do they run, and how do you match up against that?
Well, what we've seen on film, they run a lot of odd front. They'll get in a 3-2, and they'll play a lot of man, soft man. So if they're playing a lot of man, we're going to throw the ball around a lot. And then they'll switch up and get what we call a 3-3 stack. They'll play some cover three, man free, that type deal. But like we tell our guys, we've prepared all week long to be able to look at all different fronts. Great thing is, when you're this far in the season, you've seen every front that you need to. You just got to make your adjustment and blocking assignments and that type deal. So it may be a game where it's two teams throwing the ball around a lot. Then again, if they're giving us a run game, we're going to run the ball a lot. So we'll see how it goes once we get in the game.
Lee, from a spectator standpoint, wrapping up, it may be more of a concern to us than it is to you, but it seems like Consolidated at this point in the season is getting a whole lot of penalties. Seems like that penalty yardage is just on the verge of a little too high. Is that concerning to you right now?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, people ask me about that. Until I go back and watch film, I don't say anything about the penalties, but I will say there were some penalties called that probably were a little bit missed and that type deal. You know, the one where we had the touchdown run, they called a holding. It was a pancake. It wasn't much of a holding. It was a pancake block and that. But we tell our guys, don't let that affect you. The penalties that I get upset with is illegal procedures, you know, jumping offside, things like that. The face mask we had on the kickoff coverage, it was a face mask, but it was just going in, trying to wrap up, and first thing to grab was the face mask. So those are things we got to get fixed, because like I tell guys, you go in the game and you have one big penalty that could change a game. I will say this, the pass interference they called when we scored the touchdown, it was both guys going up for the ball, and I don't know if it should have been a pass interference, but this isn't college where you get instant replay and get to see it all. But like we tell them, you play the game, you don't worry about the calls, and just keep playing.
Frankly, with a stadium like that, they should have instant replay. It's a darn shame. At any way you slice, the Tigers up at 6-1 on the season, 3-1 in district play. Another big one coming up, Lake Creek Montgomery. The Lions will be rolling into Tiger Stadium. We'll have the kickoff in just a few moments from right now. David Campbell and Mark Green will be along for the call tonight. Thanks for joining us pregame. For Coach Lee Fedora, I'm Mike Wright.